Today we're going to try to answer this question. The title of today's message is, Ever Wonder Why God Truly Loves Me? See, I think that's really the issue when we struggle with this issue of love is we think God can love, and certainly he loves the world. He sent his son Jesus, but when we narrow that down a little tighter, we start thinking, but why would he want to love me? You see, we each know each ourselves, and we're thinking, yeah, I don't know that I'm the person that really should have been saved. Maybe other people, but I'm not sure about me. But you are. You are the one. I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them, you're the one. Turn to the next person. You're the one Jesus loves. You. Catch somebody in front of you, behind you. You're the one Jesus loves. Point at him. It's okay to point. You know, it's kind of fun to think, you know, Jesus loves people, but we have this idea, maybe everybody, but he's not sure about me. Well, you see, there are two different types of love. There actually are many more than two, but there are two specifically that we get confused about, I think, when we deal with this issue of love. The first one if you're taking notes, is love because the object is valuable. I think we're talking about a love that's based on worthiness of the object that's being loved. And this is the most common type. It's the kind of thing that jumps out at you. We're redoing our kitchen after 34 years. We're redoing our kitchen at home. It's a nightmare. Great people we're working with. It's just a nightmare. I'm living on paper plates, washing dishes in sinks, bathroom sinks. Food's in one room, other stuff's in another room. Where's this? I don't know where it's at. It could be anywhere. And that's what our life's going on. Well, one of the big discussions we had is granite countertops. I'm like, put a sheet of plywood on. I don't care. It's fine. You know, we had plain old countertops for 34 years, and I didn't even have a name for them. I just knew they were the countertops, and they were fine. They had them all those years. They weren't scratched. They held up well. That's great. Let's just do that. Oh, no. Ladies, you're with me, right? Yeah. Well, you got to have granite countertops. I don't know why. I have no idea. But you just do. But see, that brings value, you see. There's value in that. Or maybe you love going to the spa. Maybe some of you love going to the spa. I just like to go to the spa. Or maybe your shoes. You bought a pair of shoes. And they got the red on the bottom, you know. They're the fancy shoes. You don't want to wear out the bottom because they're all red and fancy. And you haven't told your husband yet you bought them, but you got them in the back of the closet. And Yeah. You know what I'm talking about now, yeah. You love those shoes. Or that outfit. You know you got that outfit because you just, it just looks so good on you, and you're still trying to figure out where you can wear it to someplace because it looks so good on you. Or guys, you maybe got that new set of golf clubs. You just know you're going to play better because you have this new set of golf clubs. It's not you. It's the clubs, right? And you just love those new clubs. Or you got a new car. You love your new car. You want to drive it around. You want to polish it up. You want to clean it up. It's your new car. It's everything. You know, in my younger years, I collected sports cards. And it was just kind of a thing, like Shaquille O'Neal's rookie card. This guy, he changed his name. It was Lou Alcindor, but he became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. This guy, Nolan Ryan, I've heard of him before. Mark McGuire, his rookie year. These two guys you've probably heard of, Willie Mays and Hank Aaron. Yeah, I collected cards. I just love those cards. I would spend hours on hours sorting cards and putting them in wrappers. That was just something I really loved to do. Those things have value, and you love them because they have value, okay? That's the first kind of love. Then there's a love that loves and gives value. A love that loves and gives value. It's love that gives value to the object. It does not love because the object has any value. It gives value to the object. Let me try to explain this. It's really hard. How many of you had, let's be honest, okay, we know each other. How many of you, when you were younger, you had a favorite toy or a blanket that you carried around, pulled around, had it with you all the time? Come on, put your hand up. You had one of those. Yeah, come on. And I can see some of you doing the, you don't want anybody to know. But it's okay. It's okay. You're still a man. You're still a man. You know, it's okay. You had a blanket. It's all right. Our son Josh had a blanket, and he called it his blankie. And someone gave it to him as a gift when he was young, as a baby. And we haven't got to the picture yet, but this is the picture. This is a picture of our son Matt and our young son Josh. And Josh is happy because he's got his three things in life: his blankie, his binky, and his bro. So he's happy. But he loved that blanket. He carried it around with him everywhere. Hey, we thought we were going to have to make it into a jacket so he could take it to college. I mean, because he just wore it everywhere. But that blanket, he loved it so much that he literally wore out the blanket that I'm holding right here. This is the blanket. Now, we didn't make our children play with rags. It was a beautiful blanket when it started, but he loved on it so much that this is what it became. Are you getting my point? That sometimes our love brings value to things. You might be able to go over to Penny's and pick that up for $5.99 or something like that when it was first came out, and you say, hey, great little blanket, but Josh, he would have given his left arm to keep that blanket because it was so important to him. And Josh didn't love the blanket because it was valuable. It was valuable because he loved it. This is exactly how God loves us. We're worn. We're raggedy. We're torn. We're wounded, we're scarred, we're frayed. God knows all about that. You have no secrets from him, but God shows us value because he loves us anyway. Do you see that? God loves you unconditionally. It's a kind of love that doesn't look for the worthiness to be loved, but his love makes you worthy. Here's a second point. God's love makes you worthy. And we're going to spend a moment on this because you need to understand it. God's love makes you worthy. That's how good he is. That's how powerful he is. It's his grace. It's his goodness. And therefore, love isn't an action. It's just not what God does. It's who he is. God is love. Does God love? Sure, he loves. But God is love. That makes him worthy. Scripture tells us in 1 John 4, God is love. Not that he loves or he doesn't love us, but he just says that's what he is. This is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world. And this is why we gather. This is what happened. The virgin gave birth to a son, and they called him Emmanuel, and we know him as Jesus. That we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Boy, that verse is powerful. That verse is just so powerful when you slow it down and you take it section by section to make you realize what he's saying here. The author, it's 1 John, so it's John. Now, this isn't John the Baptist. He's already dead. This is John, the brother, who also was around Jesus, was a disciple. Who's John's brother? What was that? John and James, James and John. They also had another nickname, Sons of Thunder. These guys were as rough as cobs. I mean, they were. If there was something they could do to rough it up, rough it out, they were the guys that did it. They they uh, they get a glimpse of that in Luke 9. Jesus had gone to a village, and the people didn't really welcome him. And so here was John's suggestions. He could have suggested, let's stop and pray for the town. He didn't do that. He could have said, maybe we suggest Jesus preach to them. He didn't suggest that. He could have suggested they perform some kind of kindness or a miracle or healing, and maybe people would have listened to the gospel. They didn't do any of that. This is what they recommended. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? That's their answer. Jesus has got to be ooey vey. You know, they're just not getting it. That's the sons of thunder. Their whole lives they had fought and said things outrageous. And here just one day, John began to spend more time with Jesus. And he certainly didn't deserve the love of Jesus, but he certainly received the love of Jesus. And we don't know when the change began, but John, little by little, began to identify himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Wouldn't that be cool to be called the disciple whom Jesus loved? Isn't that great? All of you who are the youngest born, your parents probably called you that, the child who we love, because you're the youngest. You know, you're spoiled. I'm the youngest. I know I was spoiled. But here, John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. He does it three times in the gospel. Refers to himself the one that Jesus loved. He was no longer son of thunder, a hothead, a troublemaker. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I believe with all my heart, as I was writing this message, there were people today who need to hear this. No matter what you've been told, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, no matter how many times you have disappointed people, no matter how many times you've acted or didn't act in a way that was appropriate, no matter what you said or didn't say, Jesus loves you. You are valuable because Jesus loves you. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, Jesus loves me. Tell the other person next to you, Jesus loves me. Yeah. Yeah, see, it's a little different then, isn't it? Yes, like, yeah, Jesus loves me. We say it differently then. We say, oh, Jesus loves you. Yeah, Jesus loves me. We can say that a lot better, can't we? Yeah. You know, you don't just hear this in your head. You need to hear this in your heart. You're deeply loved by Jesus. Jesus taught that story. If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go back and look for the one that wandered off? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Because he loves that one sheep that has wandered off. You are that sheep. You. You. Say, me. Yeah, you. You're that sheep that wandered off. Maybe for a little while, maybe for a long while, but it's God who came looking for you. It's God who was instrumental in bringing you here to hear this message, to bringing you here to worship today. It doesn't matter what you did or how dark you feel or how many regrets you have or the shame that you carry. You're the one that Jesus loves and is searching for right now. Now, some of you, you're just going to sit there kind of with a cow in headlight look, maybe fold your arms and just keep thinking, lunch is coming. Lunch is coming. Just wait. It's coming. I can just get through this. To say that I am the one that Jesus loves isn't a statement of pride. It's a statement of truth. God is loving you right now, this very moment, this very second. He is looking upon you, and he is loving you. He would have sent his son for you if you were the only one. He loves you, he misses you, and he longs for you to return to him. You think, well, I'm here. You might be in the physical proximity of the church, but not all of you there. There's part that still isn't here. Here's something amazing. God didn't shout his love from heaven, but he showed his love on earth. When a virgin gave birth to a baby boy, they named him Jesus, a name that means he will save his people from their sins. Because, friends, we got a sin problem. We got a big sin problem. You know, we can talk about fentanyl. We can talk about child abuse. We can talk about, we can talk about a lot of things happening in the world that we shake our head at. But we want to put it, boil it down. It's got one name, sin. We've got a sin problem. It's not popular to talk about sin today. We've all sinned before. The name means missing the mark, and this is why we feel so unworthy, because we know about our sin. We feel unworthy of God's love because our God loves with a different kind of love. This is not a love that determines the value of you. He loves with the kind of love that gives value to you. You are that person today, whatever you did, whatever happened, how long ago it was. Let the shame and regret go if you would just ask him. And I have pulled this scripture lately, and I've pulled to the scripture lately, and I have been finding it in my private reading and in my Bible devotions, and it just seems like every time I turn around, it keeps popping up. I think God has really hit me hard with this verse because I'm reading it every other time I turn around, and I wrote it in this message, and it's the second time I put it in a message in the last few weeks, and it's from Romans 8:38, and it says, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the things present nor the future nor any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's a powerful verse. And this is why we gather on the Lord's Day. This is why we come together to worship in the very first place. Worship isn't something you do that's in your schedule. It's not when it's convenient. You don't have anything better to do. You don't have any family in. Nothing's planned this weekend. You don't have anything schedule-wise you've got to change. Worship is incredibly essential to your spiritual growth. God's brought you here today because you needed to hear this message. You are the one who Jesus loves and died for. There are so many who do not share of worship the way you do. With them, it's a matter of when it's convenient. If it doesn't rain, if I don't have any, maybe I'll wash clothes that day. Maybe I'll wash the car that day. Maybe I can get around to golfing that day. Did you want to go to the beach Sunday? Hey, you know, our friends are in from out of town. Let's have them come over. Rather than invite him to church with you, you spend the day at home with your friends. And I can go on and on and on, because I tell you, in 45 years of ministry, I've heard them all. All. How much longer can you ignore what's going on in your heart and your head? How much longer can you continue to say no to a God who's been pursuing you? How many times has God whispered into your ear that this is the time? God's whispered into your ear, you need to listen to this passage. You need to take it to heart. How many times has someone come to you and said something to you, and you heard it out of their mouth, but you know, this is God telling me something. This is God telling me something. How many times have you heard a verse, and we know it is read, it just resonated right here in your chest. He said, that was for me. Today is the day. Don't put this off. Tomorrow is not promised. You're here today for this. You may not get tomorrow. I'm getting ready to have my 50th class reunion in a couple months. I know you're thinking, how could he have 50th class reunion? I graduated when I was 12. That's not true. I'm very old. And when I see pictures of the group that's planning this group, I look at the pictures and I said, are those our teachers? Those can't possibly be people I went to school with, because they're old people. And I'm not an old person like that. And I hear, I'm not, it's no joke, just since we started planning the reunion, 4 of my classmates dropped dead. Just since we've been talking, planning, visiting on Facebook, hearing about it more and more. And it just reminded me, you know you're old when the first thing you check in the paper is the obituary. If your name's not listed, you get up, you know. Well, I'm kind of getting to that point in life, you know, where where the people I know, the people that I'm familiar with, the people that are my friends, they're dropping like flies. And we have this tendency in our mind to think, oh, well, that's them, not me, until it is. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, friends. You were brought here for this, to hear this message about how much God loves you and how you need to surrender your life to him. And if you've never done that, you can do it even this morning and surrender your life to him and be obedient to him unto baptism. First day of the church, the first message of the first preacher of the church, Peter, stopped him. What must we do to be saved? You must repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, for the remission of sins. There was no sinner prayer mentioned. There is no repeat these words and you'll be saved. There was no sign this card in the back of the brochure. It was repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, for the remission of sin. And if that hasn't happened, it can happen this morning. Would you pray with me? Our Father God, you love us so much. You show us such patience, and I don't know how you have that kind of patience, because we're so hard-headed, and we like things our way, and we sometimes will ignore the many signs you give us, the many people who talk to us, the many times we hear your word, and we put it off and think, oh, it's going to happen. Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, somewhere down the road, I'm going to slow down. Yeah, we're going to get active at church. Yeah, I want to do that whenever I have a little bit more time. I'm going to probably be active, and I'll find a place to serve at church, and yeah, I'll probably talk to the preacher about that baptism thing someday. But Father, you are my witness to the number of people whom I have stood at their funeral, knowing they had that conversation, putting things off, and never came to a saved relationship with you. Never obedient to baptism. Father, there are people in this room who have put off, hesitated, quit thinking about it because they didn't want to think about it, put off making that decision because they thought if they just put it off a little longer, it'd be better. But Lord, you kind of turned it around because you brought them here today to hear this message. That there are people in this room it was just specifically for. I pray they heard it today, Lord. I pray they heard it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.